Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansone Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Now, I wish Nicole was joining me tonight, but she has a family emergency, and we hope that everything works out okay for her today. She was saying she would try, but I was telling her, nope, you have to kind of take care of what you need to take care of today. Now, we've been off the air for a few weeks with New Year's and Christmas. I hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. There's always a lot to do, and I hope you're resting a bit. I know sometimes people get a little overwhelmed during the holiday seasons. It seems to me that people call for readings this time of year. They miss those who have crossed over. It was a little bit of a sad holiday season because of that, because those who have crossed over seem to be really missing Earth and Christmas this year. So I think those of you who have lost loved ones know that feeling. And so I'm just hoping that this year we all have a wonderful, wonderful new year. I'm wishing all of you out there, all of our listeners, great abundance in all things in the upcoming year. Now, I think I'm just going to jump in and try to get some of our first callers. Nicole's not here to screen. But if you do want to talk to me, you do have to press 1. Okay, when you press 1, I'll know that you do want to speak to us. So I'm going to go to my first caller. And you've been waiting a long time. And it's a 718 number. So the last 4 digits of your number are 8555. Okay, hello, Cindy, and you're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy, how are you?
Good, and who is this?
This is Karen. Hi, we spoke a couple of months ago. I'm so excited
okay.
I got you tonight.
You're so funny. You were so good because, Karen, you're very smart. You go on before the show starts so that I get to look who's been waiting, because once the show starts, we get like hundreds of listeners and the call, you know, you just get pushed to the bottom. But if you've
yep.
been waiting like 5 minutes
no, Cindy,
before the show.
I had a feeling.
You had a feeling. See, you're so psychic.
And I had a feeling to call. And I said, let me call. Let me press 1. So I'm so glad.
And it's so funny because a little voice kept saying to me, you got to pick her up first. Because sometimes what happens, even the first people will get pushed to the bottom, get pushed down pretty quickly. So I just kept watching your number, where because you now it's about 40 down, but I'm like, no, I'm holding on to that number today. Oh. So,
you know,
Karen,
that makes me feel good,
in.
Cindy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Before we start, I have a question.
Sure.
I want to know, since we talked, I've read your book, I've been listening to your show, I've been trying to have a more positive attitude. So I really want to thank you for that. So the listeners know you really have helped me with that part of my life.
Oh, well, that's so sweet for you to say. And you know what? Change is a little bit slow. So as you're listening to the show and you're reading the book and you're going inward and looking, the negative thoughts just come naturally without programming. So we kind of have to always keep putting those positives. But after a while, it really becomes second nature. I mean,
yeah.
I almost never have negative thoughts. I mean, and I can remember years being really whining, complaining kind of person. And it amazes me now how the negative thoughts really don't come in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
and
it
I wish
did take,
everybody well. I just wish you well. And that's all I keep saying. I just wish everybody well. And that's, and I want
and,
well. And that's all.
And it's so funny. I do have a saying for those people who, you know, have not done so right by people. And I tend to just say to them in the laws of karma, I pray you get the life you deserve, okay, because
yeah.
that's how it works. You know, I'm not wishing you evil, but I'm wishing you what you deserve. And, you know, and later on I can see the consequences and what happens to them, because, you know, the universe will usually, in the laws of karma, fix things. It may take a while, but the people do eventually get, you know, the life they deserve. And as far as you're going, so you called in and there must be something really on your mind tonight.
Yeah, see, you really overwhelmed me. There was a lot of messages from my dad. I thought I had full closure. And, you know, of course, I missed him every day, but, you know, I knew he was in a better place, and I was in a good place. I was doing fine. So all my messages were from my mom. I don't know if you remember, my dad was with you, and he waited for you all day to talk to me. So he was very cute. And do you remember him?
Sure. And
I don't
it's
know
funny
if you
because he.
A couple of minutes ago.
Yes, I do, because he gathered early today, and I kind of recognize dead people more than living. That's the funny part about it. I don't really pay attention too much what people look like, because one of the things you're told when you do, like, you know, tarot or readings, you know, just eliminate that which can be taken from people. So I try not to look at what they're wearing. I don't, you know, what can rise and fall. I don't really look too much the way they look, what they have, what they possess. I'm told to pay attention to what they've learned, you know, if they're, you know, their education, what they've learned, the life lessons they learned, because that's taken with us. So oftentimes I don't recognize living people, but I do recognize the dead, because they're pretty distinctive in their, the
mm-hmm.
way they interact. And your dad landed here early today. And I'm like, now,
oh, wow.
I don't know why you're here, but I don't think I'm talking to your daughter today, but I guess if she, you know, calls into the show. Now, funny that I kept being zeroing in on your number.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you were meant to call in tonight. Your dad misses you a lot, by the way. And he misses life. I mean, it's funny because oftentimes the dead do not miss life. You know, life is not easy. You know,
he died young, Cindy, but I want you to know that even though he died young, we weren't sad for him. He had a really good life. He had a great job, great children. I mean, he was lucky. But nobody, like I said, I was never sad for him because, you know, we were taught young that this is what happens. You know, we live as we can, and then we do die. And you hope for more. So, like I said, I'm not sad for him. And I wanted to know, like, it doesn't have to be so sad. We know this is what happens. And as much as I think he misses the life aspect, the part. He's a little in all of our business in a good way. We all rely on him, I think, you know.
And he also was a good man who never wanted to cause people pain. So what happens when mm-hmm. good people die, they cause a lot of pain. Okay. They've never caused pain in their entire life. That's what they tried not to do. So it's painful if you experience deep, deep mourning that doesn't seem to let up. So, you know, your dad is happy that you are the way you are, because it helps
him.
He made
it this way. Yeah.
To feel better. And, of course, you know, it's one of the hardest lessons in life that death is part of life. And, you know, the longer we're going to be living, people are going to be living to 100. If they don't get used to the fact that people die, life is going to be brutal. It's going to just be brutal. So learning, you know, that, and your dad is a very funny man in his own way, and he has a big smile on his face. He just wants you to have a really happy year ahead of you. Now, you've been reading the books.
Yeah.
What do you think you're trying to find out in life? What are you searching for now?
I was so overwhelmed with, like, I mean, I was so happy. I mean, there was all these messages from my mom, and my mom was happy, and she felt these things too, because she was dreaming all week, and she couldn't understand why she was very restless and dreaming. So she didn't know I was calling you. And so when I told her everything, she was like, oh, now it makes sense. She's like, I've just been thinking about him and dreaming about him. And, you know, like, so, you know, we're all connected in that way. And, like, you know, it's a very spiritual type of person I'm trying to become in that way. But I didn't focus on myself in that phone call. You did tell me a lot of things, and they were true. I'm not saying they're not true. But I wanted to get more of a direction of where would my soulmate come in from? Like, I'm happy in my job and my family, but I know you said he was working on my soulmate, and I want some more details of where I'm supposed to go.
Okay. Now, do you do anything to find somebody? Now, you're going to be laughing, though, because out of my phone reading deck is not your typical 80 cards. It's more like 140 cards, because I have some doubles. And the first card I picked is soulmate. So I'm like, ooh, this is good.
That's my direction tonight, right? Because when I talk to you, we're so much closer, you know?
But where do you do anything to find someone?
I mean, I've gone out a couple of times, and, you know, I keep it in the back of my mind after we spoke, and I just, you know, I don't know what direction to go out more.
Okay, are you trying to, the best way is just to expand your soulmate friendship circle, which means, because we're all part of a soul group, and our soulmate has to come from that soul group. So if we get out there and meet some soulmate friends or soulmate, other soulmates in our soul group, even if we're working with them, they're work people, but if you go out and meet them, expand them, you're more likely to meet this person. I'm not seeing he's online or anything like that, but if you, God can't airdrop our lovers to our door. He can't FedEx them. So if we don't go out, if we stay in the house year in and year out, how is God going to get this person to you? So it's just signing up for a course, a meetup, not spending money necessarily, but, lots of times there's fundraisers for different things or events that you might want to go to. That if you just go and not always worry about, is anybody coming with me? Because, sometimes when you go places with other people, you don't mingle, you don't interact. I mean, what men have told me is the worst thing is when women go out in packs, like four or five of them.
Uh-huh.
Like, what man's going to permeate a pack? He's like, he'll be eaten alive by the other women. So trying to get out there, it looks like you should stumble upon him. I mean, your dad said you had a lot of courage when you were little, so he's asking you to get out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Do you tend to, like, do the same things all the time? And
everybody's married and they have kids. And, what do we do now? Go to dinner or might go get coffee. No one's going to the bar at 4 in the morning anymore.
Right. No, you know, you want to go to.
Nothing good ever happens after 12, It's a big joke.
You don't want to be there, but it's even signing up for a course that has nothing to do with finding love. I mean, it could be a yoga class. It could be a writing class. It could be, you just figure you want to learn how to do something. It doesn't mean that you're going to meet a man there, but it really means meeting more
people,
people, women and things like that. And it's usually when we step outside of our comfort zone. Now, maybe you haven't been guided yet. Like when I met my husband, TJ, I was pretty guided for like 2 years before that I would find this man in East Hampton. And I was like, okay. So that means I had to get to know people in East Hampton, didn't I? I had to get to know people there. And when I finally met my friend Judy, who lives in East Hampton, it's through her that I met TJ. So it's kind of like you have to make new friends. And how I met Judy was by going to a party by myself, okay, that I was invited to. And I didn't bring anybody else. I said, let me just go. And she was one of the first people that I met at the party, and we became like almost instant friends. So and that night I didn't really want to go to the party, by the way. I was tired. I really didn't want to go. And the universe said, just get dressed and go. If you had to go to work, you'd put on your makeup and a dress and go. So it's almost like if you ever hear that little voice saying, why don't you just go to this event? And you might be going, I don't really want to go, but you'll just keep hearing go. And of course, you've got a little bit of blocks here. Some of the blocks are that you've been hurt in love before. And I don't think you always trust your judgment.
Right.
So you're not the same person you used to be. You're trusting your gut. Your gut will tell you if somebody's not good. It's a little bit scary to get out there and open your heart. But that's where your dad says you used to have a lot of courage.
Right.
And, have that courage. I would not think that you would be calling here next year and this man won't be in your life unless you don't go outside of your house in your comfort zone. Then, all bets are off here. So you might want to just, what town do you live in? Where do you
Brooklyn.
Live in the city or Queens?
I'm in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, okay.
No, Brooklyn.
Okay. Now Brooklyn's, pretty up-and-coming place. You know that.
Yeah.
So you might want to just look at, online at events happening in Brooklyn. And, not a lot of things, some things just don't cost a lot of money. It's $5, $10, some things are free. But just sort of go there. You're into spiritual things. So maybe if you see someone teaching a spiritual workshop or, someone talking about astrology or any topic that would interest you, because at least you'll be meeting other love-minded and like-minded people. I mean, you don't want to go to a Star Trek convention if you don't like Star Trek. You're going to meet Trekkies. That doesn't make sense. But it also has to be things that you want to go because you're interested in anyway. So if your dad says if you would just get out of the comfort zone, it would happen. Okay. There's also some dogs up there with your dad. Who lost dogs? Do you know?
My mom has lost a dog. But we just lost Michael. My son lost a dog more recently.
Okay. Okay. There's a dog.
My mom was asking, was it her dog or was it my dog?
Okay. There's a couple of dogs up there with your dad. So, I mean, all of a sudden he said, the dogs. I got the dogs. So
I know.
I'm kind of laughing.
Daisy.
Yep, because up there, definitely. So
I thought that was special to him.
And your dad's laughing. Yeah, the dogs do go up here. And,
So I don't know this person yet. I need to go out more. I just want to.
You've never met him before.
Okay.
I mean, this is the kind of guy when you meet him, by the way, you're going to you'll just be like, wow, there'll be like a recognition factor, which is feeling like you've known each other before. You'll be very comfortable near him. You know, true soulmates meet instantly. They're in love. It's not a choice, soulmate love. It's just there. And in the ideal world, you're close from the beginning and you get closer. I mean, unfortunately, lately, people are not knowing how to love. So they're close and then they push it away. But this man is a very good man. He's very hardworking. He has some of the traits of your dad that you liked very much, by the way.
Yeah,
you know, he's a loyal man. He's trustworthy.
A good worker, a good family man.
Right. I mean, you know, your dad's kind of old-fashioned, you know. The man that he would pick would – and, of course, he didn't pick him from a gazillion people in the universe. What they're allowed to do is, you know, we have about 10 or more soulmates, depending on how many lifetimes we've had. But there's not usually more than 2 or 3 anywhere near alignment that could be brought to us. And out of the possible 3 soulmates that you could have met, he's picked the one out of those that he believes is the best for you. You know, he just went like this. I wouldn't know who to pick from the whole universe, you know. He's kind of funny about that, you know. He's like, where would I start? But
I was curious about my ex-husband. Was he part of my soulmate? Because we had an instant connection. So reading your book.
Yes.
I was wondering the difference, you know, because we had such an instant connection and we were great. He was a great boyfriend, but a horrible husband.
Right. Well, what happens is, that's what I was saying, 45% of people are offered soulmate love, 1% maintain it. Okay, when people get married, they start reliving their parents' nightmare marriage. So that sabotages things. So some people are very, very good as lovers and boyfriends and girlfriends, but when the actual marriage takes place is when, you know, the prince becomes the beast. But when you first met your husband, do you remember loving him with your heart?
Oh, completely.
And your soul, he brought out the best
in
you. Your mind, you're communicating that strong body chemistry. Well, bless him that at least you know what a soulmate is, because you wouldn't settle for now a man to fit a plan. So this man, you'll have the same sort of like instant connection and feeling of like recognition. But this is a good man who's healed a lot of his issues. The problem is that your ex didn't heal his issues.
And those issues eventually
destroyed the marriage. This man is a man without issues. You know, that's why the more issues we can heal on our own before the soulmate is brought, the less likely we are to sabotage this relationship. So know that you will have that same sort of feeling you had with your husband, only this man is a healed person. I mean, you know, your dad feels very sorry for your ex, by the way. Because,
I do too. I'm trying
he
to have
lost the love of
attitude.
His life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He lost the
and
love
I'm,
of his
I'm,
life.
I'm sorry. Say that again. I'm so sorry.
Your husband lost the love of his life. You were the love of his life.
Yeah. I feel bad for him because I know that. After reading that book, that's why I want to wish him well, because I, especially after talking tonight, I wanted to make sure that we were at this moment because I knew there was something there that isn't going to progress, and it couldn't progress once we were married. And he's always going to he has to make now. I'm trying to make myself what lessons I've learned from it, and I hope he can learn what lessons he needed to learn or will. You know, does that make sense?
He might not learn them in this lifetime. By the way, he may not. You know,
he may
take 5 more lifetimes to learn them. But what you've learned from this is what a soulmate is. You've also learned that most people can't maintain it if they don't treat each other as equals, they don't heal their issues, if they don't stop reliving their parents' nonsense. So this happens. And I think for a long time you probably were hoping to bring it back up the ladder of love, because if it started
That's
out
good,
as soulmates and it went all the way to toxic, you shut up a lot and it went mediocre, and then you were hoping to bring it back. But you can't if a person's what I call an unfixable. And unfixables are narcissists,
right.
manipulators who judge others. And your husband is definitely an unfixable in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can't fix, if we can't fix a person, then we can't fix the love to be soulmate again. You could have stayed with him and shut up and probably drop dead young, because, you know, you can't just shut up for 40 years. It's deadly. So know that, yes, you did have a soulmate. No, it didn't work out. 1% do work out. It's not unusual that it didn't work out. It's just sad. It's just really
right.
sad, because it was all there. But you will be granted another soulmate, because you weren't responsible for the demise of that relationship. His actions, his behaviors were. It doesn't matter if you're the one who left or whatever. It matters if a person's behaviors force a person to leave. You know, we
right.
can't keep enabling people. Older souls are very good enablers, and they're great crap takers, too. They take a lot of crap. And, you know, there's, and we're very tolerant. And there's a point where enough is enough. And, you know, that's what you had to learn, and that's what you had to teach. And there's a lot of lessons in when after a relationship ends. I mean, just because you're not married anymore doesn't mean that the souls don't go on communing telepathically, and, you know, you still learn. There's still energetic cords with soulmates that may never be totally severed, nor do they have to be totally severed. It's just that, you know, being with that person isn't going to be good for you or for him.
Right.
So, I mean, don't be surprised.
I don't want to. I'm trying to do that French. You know, I have to be a friend. We have a child together, and, you know, just, I know he still has a dependent on talking to me, and I could see it now after reading the book.
Right, and that's why I said you Grant Me a Higher Love was channeled to me over like a period of about 10 years, and probably there was no less than 1,000 spirit guides helping me write that book at any one time. I mean, there was one time with the chapter, the step on commitment phobia, there was like 1,000 angels and spirit guides in my apartment. I was like overwhelmed, and they wouldn't let me stop writing for 12 hours. Like, no, you got to get this down. You got to get this down. And I was like, overwhelmed, because I was like, I didn't realize how big a commitment phobia that people can be married, but they don't commit fully with their whole heart, soul, minds. You know, they're elsewhere with those. And so the amount of spirit guides that helped me. Now, when I sometimes read over the book, or sometimes I'll say, I need help with something, I don't understand it. And I'll hear my spirit guide say, open to this page on the book. And I'll read it, and I'll go, you know this stuff, you know that. And I'm like, well, who wrote this? They go, you did, don't you remember? No. Like, it's, there's part of it where it still overwhelms me. Like, I don't know how it was written, although I spent all those years, 4 years writing and a lot of research. It still overwhelms me with the amount of knowledge that's in the book. So, you know, we all have to keep learning and growing, but we can't, if we don't learn the lessons of one relationship ending, God will have to bring us another person to teach us those same lessons again. So I advise people, learn what you can, so you don't have to get these same lessons again and again.
Yeah, I don't want them again and again. I want to move on and just find some happiness on that side of my life.
And it certainly is in your cards. I mean, he's supposed to be here this year. So, I mean, your child needs to see a better version of love than what you've shown. So the universe is usually pretty frantic to bring a soulmate into the picture for children's sake. So know that, you know, it's not just for you. It's in because your father would like to see, you know, this dysfunction end and not continue. So how old is your child, by the way?
12. He's 12 now. And he's a good boy, and it's been me and him for a while now. So I would like to show him the better part. But it's,
right, because otherwise he's going to be afraid to love. You can't just show love starts out good, then it sucks, then there's nothing else. You got to show if you leave something bad, you get something better.
Mm-hmm. And he's a good kid. He's not like me. Big heart, you know, smart kid, big heart, kind. He's a really good boy.
Well, I'm so glad for you, because that makes it all the more easy. But remember, he's 12. You got the teen years ahead of you. So, it's funny. Teens in America.
Hopefully not.
Teens in America are not easy. I'm like, oh, no. But he's a very good boy. And again, if you have this like love in your life and a little bit of stability, and him seeing how a man really should treat a woman is important. And your son had to see that if a man does not treat a woman correct, he will lose the love of his life. That's what your son saw when you and your husband are not together. So that's a good lesson for a man to learn. You know, and just know that you will be with a soulmate. Your dad's laughing. He promises you will be with a soulmate. Do you know who John is, by the way? John?
Yes.
Who's John?
His brother. My uncle, my godfather.
Okay, because your dad just he loved John a lot. Do you know that?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you know,
I was with his family for the holidays, and we had some nice conversations about them together. We missed them.
Okay, and that's why your dad wanted you to know that he was down on earth for the holidays. Remember, I told you they're very they miss it. He was down on earth, and he saw you when you were with John, and he saw all of that, and he was very happy.
Yes, we had a nice time with his family and our cousins and all of our family. We had a nice holiday. We all got along, everybody, even in my family, my sisters and brothers. And it was very enjoyable. It was one of the first holidays where there was no drama.
And that's why your father...
We're not big drama, but there's always that little bit, you know, that little bit of drama. And it was very relaxing.
And that's why your dad stayed the whole holiday. If you people start fighting and stuff, they leave. They go, hell with this. I'm going back home where everybody's happy, you know. He just said he enjoyed this holiday very much. So anyway, we're going to try to take another caller because we have a lot of callers tonight.
Thank you so much.
Good luck to you, Karen.
Thank you. Have a great new year. Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, let's see now. We're going to go over to 631-896. Hi, Cindy, and you're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
And who is this?
It's Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. I thought this was your number. I don't think you emailed me your number, but I was like, I hope this is Stacy tonight.
It is. How are you?
Okay. Oh, very good. So now, Stacy, for our listeners, has been calling in a little bit regularly. You're in the process of a divorce, correct? It's not over yet, right?
Yes, no, it's not. It's still in process.
Okay. And your mom and, you know, you've had a soulmate was brought back to you and he has commitment issues.
Have you
been connecting with him?
Not as much, but I am still, we have been. We're trying to, you know, keep that friend thing alive and I'm just trying not to be as dependent on him and trying to move on. So I just, I'm just trying to let that unfold naturally and not pursue it anymore.
Okay, good. Because it doesn't look like he's ready to ever move on with his life. I mean, he's going to stay
stuck. Yeah, I realize that.
And, mostly, his cards are very bad on financially and his relationship, that he's not able to break away from. So, I still don't see him breaking away from it. I just don't see that it's good. And as far as you go, have you been trying to meet other men?
I have, and it's going so-so. I just had somebody that I dated before who kind of ghosted a little bit and went back to his ex-girlfriend, just contact me right on New Year's Day, and I'm debating whether or not I want to see him again because he's kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I trust him, and he's only looking for one thing probably, so I'm just not sure I want to even go there.
Think about it. That if you get involved with him, it's not such good karma to get involved with people who are, like him for yourself. And, I'm seeing if you start getting involved with him, I keep getting the devil card in it. Remember, this is a rigged deck. It has like three devil cards in it. And I'm like, I can't believe I got three in a row. Okay. Like, that's scary. And
what's
just
funny is
your...
I really could relate to the lady you were talking to just before. And his
that's
name
what
is
I
John.
Was thinking. Right? That's what I was thinking. I mean, it's so funny. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, boy, if Stacy's listening, she can relate to this,
Definitely.
And we just don't, want to get involved with people who, aren't healing their issues. And, you're an older soul. I'm not saying the two men that you're talking about aren't soulmates, because we do have more than one soulmate. And older souls tend to meet soulmates. But if you can see, very few of them actually, you know, step up to the plate and maintain this.
Yeah.
So, you know, with you, I just want you to keep your, like, eyes open for, you know, the good man that's coming. I hope you're still watching your back with your husband. Because
I'm trying to, yes. I'm learning some other things as I go along through this process that I didn't expect, but.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just
trying
to keep my eyes open.
The universe is just showing you things so that you don't ever get sort of the blinders back on and think maybe it's better just to stay or go back or whatever.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because, you know, he's really got a lot of tricks up his sleeve. So,
okay.
With you, money looks like it'll be okay, by the way.
Okay.
So try not to worry about money too much.
Thinking about a career change.
Well, you're definitely going to have one because I've gotten the Ace of Pentacles, which is a new career, a new job, a new switch. And perhaps that's how you're going to meet this man. That's why I said sometimes getting out of our comfort zone, which means
mm-hmm.
getting another job, when we're getting that message, get another job, could lead us in alignment with other people. So, you know, there's a lot of change here. You're by nature don't love change, but you've had a lot, like, pretty quick. So you're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good through all these changes.
Yeah, I'm shifting slowly. And
well,
I'm reading your book.
Which book are you reading? Grant Me or Why Good People?
Grant Me.
Okay. Grant Me or Higher Love is a really good cleaning your subconscious mind kind of book.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes you could just open and randomly start reading because there's usually a message. But the more that anybody who's really seriously done that book has a soulmate and has a really good relationship. It's sort of, you know, even if you just say grant me a higher love, you're pretty likely to be given a higher love. But whether you're going to be able to maintain it is what the book helps you heal your own issues. And, you know, some of the issues are, you know, just that you might need to know is that you just want a soulmate that is a healed person. And, and know that in the laws of karma, you know, what comes around goes around. So if we're allowing men to have their cake and eat it too, the universe doesn't reward us with another soulmate too soon. It's really
negative
karma.
That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of if I just go out with this guy just because I feel lonely or he's giving me attention, then I'm going to not let somebody else into my life. So I don't want to go
there.
And
it's also just looked at as, you know, it's one thing to fall in love with a soulmate who's married and the universe, you know, would be putting into that person's mind, why this, why now? Why are you falling in love with someone else? The universe is pretty tolerant for a year of someone having an affair because it would be stupid to leave a long-term relationship without really doing some inner searching and pretty much, why God, why this, why now? Why am I falling in love with someone I married? It's probably because the relationship was either never soulmate to begin with. Maybe it was soulmate and it went down to toxic. Maybe you got to figure out if you need to fix your marriage or leave it. But, you know, 1 year, the universe is tolerant. Then it starts getting really impatient. But to start a relationship with a man who's married and you're doing it because you're lonely, it's not the same as, you know, you fell in love with a soulmate and this is not a choice and I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing, but I can't stop it. And you're just sort of scooped up in it. But to consciously choose to be with a man who you know is with someone else.
No, and this man's not married. But he's just I just don't think he's not. He tells me he's not ready for a relationship. So,
okay.
He just
now
wants to date.
How old is he?
He's actually 60. He's 10 years older than me.
Okay, at 60, he's not ready for a relationship.
No, because
he's
just
60.
Have one. Yes, I know. He's very immature. 60
well, that's
old,
because now it's the new thing with men. Also, that when men are telling you that, they're telling you they're sleeping with other women.
Yeah,
and
that's
pretty much
true.
Is what they're telling you.
Yeah,
what he's telling you is, I'm not looking for a relationship, but that means I can sleep with you and see you, and I could see 8 other women too.
Yeah.
So, setting yourself up for something like that with a person, it's not good because men are calling all the shots now. They're the new masters, telling women how close they can get or not close. God is asking women to grow some balls and pretty much tell these guys, if you want to be with me, it's only me. Put 2 feet near. Let's see what's there. How can love grow or trust grow when you don't know what a person's up to? I mean, you know, these men are sleeping around a lot. I don't know if you know, but chlamydia and herpes are really rampant right now.
Yeah, no, I'm already said that, and I'm not going there.
So, again, if he's saying to you, I'm not looking for a relationship, that means he's, you know, you have to accept what he says. You have to accept that he's calling the boundaries. You can, you know, I can date you once a week, once a month, and I can do whatever I want. But it's not such, it's not very healthy, and it also will just, you know, with the time you're spending with him, a man who says, I don't want what you're selling, you could be out there looking for someone else or healing your own issues. And,
right.
You know, and know with this man, he, you know, even though he was in a long-term relationship, he still had commitment issues. He's never really committed heart, soul, mind, and body to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's the kind of person that's come home with his body only. His heart, soul, mind have been elsewhere. So I call them the committed commitment phobics.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't care about you, because it's quite the opposite in these cards. Okay, he feels a pretty strong connection with you. But, and you felt
yeah.
it too.
I did. And I told him, I said, I don't think you're a bad person. I just think you're selfish.
Well, they're selfish, they're immature. And it's kind of becoming a very self-involved culture, you know,
mm-hmm.
where... I recently wrote an article. Some, you know, I get a lot of reporters asking me for quotes about relationships, and one was how you can, you know, get more out of dating or enjoy dating more. And the reporter was fairly young, and when she wrote what I said, she said, I've never heard this one before. I was telling people, think about the other person when you're on a date. Stop thinking about yourself for a change. How about you're on a
mm-hmm.
date, and how about making the other person feel relaxed? And helping and thinking about what the other person might be feeling. I could imagine. Could you imagine? She said, "I never heard this one before." I thought, isn't that fundamental? You're out on a date. Like, I mean, my whole mission since I was a child. I mean, my mother was the kind of woman that everybody felt uptight near. She was not warm. Man, she was like an ice cube. And from her, I said, I'm never going to make people feel the way my mother makes people feel, like on edge, like you're being judged, like, you know, like you're not comfortable. So I always wanted to make that person feel comfortable. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and even if it's not going to work, you just, you know, you're having dinner with the person, talk, be nice, you know, be respectful. But it's
right.
like people just throw people away. They're like mean and they're
yeah.
rude. And I think it all started with the speed dating, 5 minutes, give me 5 minutes and throw you away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting to the point where people are not even being, like, nice. It's like they're rude to other people. And
right.
very bad karma to do that. If you go on a date and it's not your ideal person, well, you're with the person. Enjoy them. Make them feel like they enjoyed the dinner. You know, be in gratitude. You know, be very nice about it. But, you know, I don't think this is, you know, going to work between us. But thank you. I enjoyed myself and wish you well. People are just
mm-hmm.
rude. From what I'm hearing, people are rude.
Yeah, they can
other
be.
People. And that's, you know, very bad karma. So you will, first of all, you will be with a soulmate. And, you know, do that soulmate prayer. Pray for one who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want
yeah.
to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. And, uh-huh. you know that it's here for you. Don't waste time on men who are boys.
Yeah. Even
and,
old boys.
You know, even old boys, and, you know, really, you're a good catch, and, you know, my feelings are women have to start realizing they're good catches, and, you know, a man, if you say, you know, we want you to be with me and only me, and let's see what's here, a man should, like, do cartwheels, jump through hoops, wow, yay, hooray. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, this whole Tinder thing, this whole date, you know, people think there's a million women waiting for them. It's
yeah.
insane. But
it is.
The longer people stay on these dating apps and dating sites, the more jaded the less likely they're to have a relationship if they're staying on these things for years. Because what happens
right.
is you get really jaded, people are nasty, people ghost
mm-hmm.
you, they disappear, they act rude, and after a while you just get so, you know, you're self-jaded. So, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of contagious.
I've experienced that, and I was on a site for a little while, and I think I'm going to get off and just try to let it happen naturally, because I've had some so-so
yep.
experiences.
Right, and you don't want to start thinking, you know, we all know that, I always say it over and over, 7 out of 10 people suck. Okay, that's the way the world is. But if you're on those dating sites, it's 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
really
it
crazy.
Is.
So, I mean, once you get into the 9 out of 10 people suck in life, oh, that's bad news. You know, we want to keep it to the 7 out of 10. You know what I mean? 7 out of 10 that I encounter in my everyday life. But, you know, the more that we learn this, then God will bring the genuinely good people into your life. Again, for your, you know, your son's sake, the universe is more urgent to bring you a good man.
I know. I really do need someone there as, you know, a male figure for my kids.
And know that he's also very generous, the man that comes. He's, you know, the other man you were just talking about, the one that's, available but not available guy, he's not very generous, by the way.
No, he's not. You're right.
And, I mean, it cracks me up with these men. They don't even want to spend any money on women anymore. And I'm a very liberated woman. I have supported myself. I have never expected a man to support me. But
I am too.
But there's a little bit when you meet a woman that first time, you want to take her to dinner. You want to treat her like a princess. That's kind of like, that's romancing.
That's nice.
What happens to romancing people? And then the next time you'll come to me and I'll make you dinner or I'll treat you and I'll whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you want that man to say, wow, I want to just like show you off for dinner. I just want to, you know, where do you want to go? Let's make this romantic. Because especially when it's a first date, you want that to be something you remember always. So men have gotten to be where, I mean, they're so cheap. I mean, women have been dating a man for 6 months. Her birthday comes. He doesn't even give her a rose or a card. I mean, you've been dating this woman for 6 months.
Yeah.
You should be sending her flowers and a card. Come on.
Yeah. And I made him dinner. Like, right after I met him, I made him dinner because it was his birthday. And he's definitely not as generous.
Okay, so you made him dinner, and then what he should have done is taken you out. Do you see? It's like equal parts giving. Older souls by nature are givers, and we'll give and give and give. And what I'm trying to teach people is if we keep giving, we get the takers. There's a point where you want to be you want to be with a person who you don't know who gave most. I mean, I have a really good best friend, and she told people she could never repay people for everything I've done to her and for her. And I said the same thing to people that go, you neither one of you know who gave most. That's what life
is. That's nice.
I mean, I couldn't believe she said it about me because I thought she's given so much I could never repay her for everything she's done. But she feels the same way. That's what should be. Who gave most? We don't know. We're both giving. And, you know, this thing with being so narcissistic that you don't even want to spend a dime on a person. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, when men want to just meet you for Starbucks. So this is me for Starbucks the first time. This is me for 5 minutes. Look, if you're going to meet me at all, like, let's just see if we can work it out. But meeting me for like 5 minutes and seeing how it's going to work, it's crazy. I mean, part of it is just meeting another human being is fun. And, you know, whether it's going to work out or not, you know, it's interesting to talk to people or whatever. But the dating world's become really like, I'm so grateful I'm not out in it, to be honest.
You're lucky.
It's scary. I mean, it's just, you know, when people think that, but a lot of people get envy, you know, Tinder envy. Oh, I'm just, you know, with one person, you guys are out there with Tinder and all this stuff. I'm like, really? You know, the grass always looks greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's really gotten to the point where men are really thinking that women are desperate, and that's got to stop. You know, it's got to stop. It's not good that these men think they're going to – I mean, they really get, like, addicted to these dating sites. They think there's, like, 400 women waiting for them. There's 400 women waiting for me.
Yeah, I need my aunt who's up there to bring me a soulmate because she would pick me a good one.
And she said – it was so funny because, yes, of course she can, and, of course – there's probably about 4 available ones, so she's got to pick the one she thinks is very, very best for you.
Okay.
But again, don't get discouraged. Don't think that there's no good men. There are good men. And
I would
feel
better after I talk to you.
It's so funny because part of it is just laughing about this stuff. You can't make this stuff up. Part of it is not taking it personally. It's not about you. You know, it's about them. And, you know, we don't want it to affect our self-esteem, and we don't want to feel like, oh, God, there's something wrong with it. That's why I try to tell people,
that's
there's nothing
hard.
Wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. There's wrong with these people. There's nothing wrong with this fundamental people are disposable rudeness. But I really think it's even started with the work world. I mean, anybody who's looking for a job knows what I'm talking about. Your resume's going to slush piles that you know, you send out 800 resumes, you don't get one response. In the past, you know, in the old days of typewriters and sending out letters, you got a response to every resume.
Right.
You got one saying, sorry, you know, it's been filled. Or people go for 5 interviews and they don't, and you know, they don't even bother to tell them they didn't get the job. They went for 5 interviews. Don't
right.
you think you owe them an email? So I think it's become a very rude culture in general, where if we don't need you, then we're not even going to respond to you. So
mm-hmm.
I think each one of us has to work a little bit on, you know, people's feelings matter. They
yeah.
really do, you know, and people being kinder about it, people, you know, making a phone call or, you know, saying what needs to be said. So I just think it's become a culture that's really rude, and it's got to, you
yes.
know, it's got to stop. And, you know, I think even with our presidential candidates are rude to each other. Everybody's
yes.
rude. It's got to stop.
Yeah.
Rudeness has to stop, you know.
Definitely.
But, you know, don't take it personally is what I'm trying to tell.
I'm trying not to.
It's sometimes not easy, like you're, you know,
no,
saying.
No, it's not. It's not.
But, you know, if you go up to a man, you know, people, you know, if you go up and you talk and he looks at you like you hit 8 heads, well, you tried and, you know, walk away. What can I tell you?
Mm-hmm.
But call in again. Let us know what's happening. I want to try to take one other caller.
Okay, thank you, Cindy. Happy
end.
New Year.
You're welcome. Happy New Year to you. And thanks for
Bye.
Calling in, Stacy. Okay, we have a 517 number. Okay, I have no idea where in the world that is. Hello, it's Cindy, and you're live on the air.
Hello.
Hello. So where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Julie from Michigan.
Oh, hi, Julie from Michigan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy New Year.
Good. Hey, thank you so much. I'm so glad to have someone from Michigan. How cold are you in Michigan right now?
It's not as cold as it was earlier this week.
Okay, good. It's warming up a bit?
A little bit. Not too much, but it's okay.
Good. Good. You have to dress warm. That's what I tell you. Just dress warm. So you've been waiting on the air a long time, so you must have something on your mind today.
Just wondering what the new year holds for me. Because 2015 was not the best.
Well, I could see that. The cards that are coming up, is you had some hard lessons to learn in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, some of what we've been talking about on the air might have resonated with you, that 7 out of 10 people aren't all that great. And
mm-hmm.
they manipulate, they lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like you've had your share of those unfixables last year, by the way, in your life. And know that I hope you're learning. Did you let go of these people? Have you let go of circumstances? Are you moving on?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Good.
Like, and I guess another question is wondering if the new year holds a move for me or if I'm still going to be in Michigan.
Okay.
That's the other question.
It looks like a pretty big move here. Where do you want to be going? Because this is a pretty big move here.
Like back to D.C. metro area.
Okay, because there is a big move. Career-wise, you know, are you going to be looking for something there in D.C.? Is that what you're hoping for?
Oh, I have been, yeah.
Okay, good, because it looks like a new job there. There's a lot of changes in your career. I mean, this is a year of big changes. And
oh, really?
Good changes. I mean, you've been seeing where you've been staying stuck hasn't been working.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving forward. There looks like you had a relationship that ended recently.
Mm-mm. No.
Because there's not...
I haven't dated... in a very long time.
Okay, and what's happening is that you got afraid of dating and involvement because don't let the past affect you, because what I'm seeing here is a good relationship coming forward. And again, when God starts shaking your world up, getting
mm-hmm.
you out of Michigan, moving you someplace else, new job, new life, there's a
mm-hmm.
reason for it. You actually are opening up a period called the Wheel of Fortune, which is anything
mm-hmm.
you want in the next 5 years could be yours. Do you know where you want to be 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you've got a really good life ahead of you.
There's a soulmate. There's a really good relationship. Letting, you know, kind of moving forward, you know, kind of letting go of where you are now. Are you trying to do that fast, move forward?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I had 15 years worth of accounting experience, and I walked off my job because of what was happening at the job.
Well, you were
and
dealing with
like
what?
Flesh.
You were dealing with not such great people. Are you aware of that?
Yeah. When you were...
There's a lot of noise in the background. Is that your house or...
No, it's not my house.
Okay.
Not at all.
There's a lot of noise.
Awesome.
Is there anybody in your house? Okay.
They're in another room. They're not.
Okay.
I hear also it sounds like kids and stuff.
You're just kidding. You don't know what good food is.
Yeah, but it sounds like kids, right?
Yeah, it's not my house.
It's not
my
mine either.
My son is on the computer. A son is in the living room, and I'm in the kitchen, and he's on the computer.
Okay, now that was pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I think it's stopped. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I'm not sure if somehow somebody, like, you know, this Blog Talk Radio sometimes has people, like, sabotaging on it, but they sort of got off.
Uh-huh.
So okay, good. I'm like, that was annoying, wasn't it?
Nope, it wasn't my home.
Okay, good.
I thought maybe someone was connected with us, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, no, that was, you remember the olden days where there were party lines? I felt like we were in a party line.
Exactly.
You know?
That's exactly how I felt.
Did you feel like that? Oh, boy, that's funny.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so I'm glad you left your job. You know, you said 15 years. That's 3 5-year cycles. Relationships, either business or personally, work in 5-year cycles. There is a point mm-hmm. where you don't have to sell your soul for money, and that's what pretty much what you
well,
were doing there.
15 years of accounting experience, and I couldn't find a job. So last year was pretty unemployment, no nothing. So, and I would get a job, and then it would fall through, and it's like, this is not me. This is not how things are supposed to be going. Well, now I'm working with a family that's older. The parents, the mother had a stroke, and the father has Parkinson's. So I've been helping them out for the last month. But I don't feel like this is where I'm ending up. This is just a stopover for right now.
Exactly. And you heard what we were talking about, the other woman, about, you know, people, very hard to, you know, sometimes find a job, and the rudeness and not hearing things back is really makes it more frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And but you have a really good 5-year period opening up. Now, if God isn't giving you a job in Michigan, it's probably because he doesn't want you in Michigan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for you to move on. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you would just be clear, when you have the Wheel of Fortune spinning, you also have the World. So both cards indicate anything you want is yours, but you just kind of point God in the direction as to where you want to be going.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so you're pretty sure you want to go now to the D.C. area?
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that has is my parents live next door to me. But I think it's time to, you know, to make that move and be where I'm most happy at.
Wow. And I think you're going to have to do that because, if you hang around where you are and you're not making a living, it's not going to be great. Are your parents older now?
Yes.
And, I'm sure you don't want to leave them at this point, but you have to kind of go where you're going to be able to support yourself and your family. So, it's not going to be that easy for you to leave them, but it really looks like it's going to have to be done. And
well, I'm hoping that my brother will step in and take over the house, my house.
Okay.
And he can be next door to them.
Good. And just know that you have to take care of you and yours at this point. And, even though your parents don't want you to go at all, are you aware they don't want you to go? But your dad is kind of knowing you might have to do this. I'm just saying they get it, okay? They don't want it,
mm-hmm.
but they get it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, in an ideal world, we could always stay close to people, but but it looks like if you stay there another 5 years, you can end up really being financially in ruin at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you want to be in financial ruin.
I think
ruin,
for everybody.
You're an accountant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're an accountant. You know what I'm talking about. So, you know, your parents would not want you to go into financial ruin. They wouldn't
want
that.
Well, it's pretty much what it has boiled down to this last year. And, you know, and it's like, I can't keep doing this. It's not, when your son looks at you and tells you you're more happier in another place, and he's like, you know, that's where you need to be.
Yep.
And he's
and that's
only
the
14.
Truth.
And I have a 16-year-old daughter who, you know, is a junior in high school here. That's another thing.
It's going to be hard for her, too. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, you see, you know, just put your resumes out in, you know, to the Washington area. It really does look like a pretty big move here. Like it's
so financially,
I mean, if,
it will be good for us.
But yes, this is an ace. This is the Ace of Pentacles, a new job. It looks good for you. Again, if you wanted to stay in Michigan, the universe would probably do anything you wanted. But you're gonna have to give like clear, you know, either you're staying or you're going. But you have to be a little bit clear. When we give mixed
mm-hmm.
messages, the universe does nothing for a while because they don't want to. They don't want to force us to go somewhere that we're not going to be happy. So
uh-huh.
they usually just keep us in a, you know, in sort of static, okay, like sort of staying in the same place until we can't do it anymore, and then something has to give. But,
uh-huh.
I, you know, at this point, it's just being clear. If you want to stay in Michigan, you could stay there. But if you really want to get moving forward, if you think it's better for you and opportunities for you, then the universe would open that door for you as well. That's why you're not getting a job. The universe doesn't know what to give you. So
okay.
kind of
it makes
figure
perfect
out.
Sense.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter. Whichever one you figure is best for you, God will help you.
Mm-hmm.
The move doesn't look bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Staying looks like if you put your mind, I want to be here with my parents and I want to be here for that reason and I want to stay here with my kids. And if you told God out of love you're staying here, okay, I want to stay with my parents. If you're staying here because out of fear, I don't want to make the move because I'm afraid. That
oh, I'm not afraid of the
that.
Move. I used to live there.
Right. And so
I'm
just
not
be,
afraid
just,
of that.
Good. I mean, maybe you're just afraid to leave your parents or whatever.
That's pretty much what it boils down to.
Right. And, you know, your intention in leaving them is not to hurt them. You have to go back to the life that's best for you at this point and for what
mm-hmm.
you believe is best for your children. And you just put your resumes out there now in that D.C. area. And you're going to see it,
okay.
you know, a job coming, really, and pretty soon, too. So,
oh, really?
Your cards are good. Your cards are good. There's a soulmate in the cards. And your children also, like we were saying to some of the other listeners, they need to see a better version of love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you don't have the courage to get back out there and find that, they may not have the courage in the future to find love. And you, that generation's
you know,
pretty concerning to God because they're afraid they're never going to get out of the room. They're going to be watching, you know, movies and living vicariously in computers and not really having human interaction.
That's exactly what it boils down to right now.
And that's what God's afraid
and I,
of.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get out there and show them a life, they may never have one. So it's more concerned your children's generation. The ones in their 30s, you know, they had their booty calls, their friends with benefits, their hookups, and they stopped dating. And it's like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at least they at least tried. The ones that are in their 20s now, some of them haven't even had a date. I don't even know what that's about. But your children are the age range that God is really getting concerned with. Are these people going to
mm-hmm.
ever have love? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, for their sake, you know, move forward where you need to go. You know, your kids look like they're pretty good kids, by the way. So...
they are.
That's they're American
they're teenagers.
Kids. We know that. They're American kids. We know that. But
mm-hmm.
they look like
they're
going to
make mistakes.
Oh yeah, we all do. And you know, we've got it. We can't carry their cross and clean up their mess. They got to learn for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, we are at the end of our show, so I want to tie it up and thank you for calling in. Call in and let us know what
no.
you decide to do. By the way.
Okay. And thank you so much, because you helped me before with the whole John thing like 4 years ago.
Oh, I remember. I remember who you are.
It's
funny. I told you, sometimes I don't remember the living, but I do remember you.
So, and when you brought up that name tonight, I was like, oh God.
I know, it's so funny resonating. But I said, see, isn't it funny how you don't even, if I didn't even speak to you, you would have gotten a message about the name John. Isn't it funny?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't want that name brought up.
Oh, I know. It's funny because it came up, and I'm like, I'm not bringing it up. We're not bringing up John. I'm not bringing up John.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Do I have any family around me still or what?
Do you remember your mother's mother, by the way?
Yes.
Grandmother? She adores you, by the way. She's like your main spirit guide. She's a riot. She's laughing because she said, I was going to say John before, but I said not. I wasn't going to. But she's saying she will watch over your mother and father even when you're not there. Like, you need to go on with your life.
Okay.
And, you know, she's gonna guide you in the next couple of weeks. So sort of pay attention to thoughts that pop in your head that you may not know where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will be her. Did you love her? Because she really loves you, this woman. Oh, my God, she loves you.
Yes, I love her. Yeah.
She really loves you. She's like saying, this is my girl. She's my girl. So, you know. Well, anyway, we've got to close up the show before we go off the air without me saying goodbye to everybody, because they'll start cutting me off in about a minute.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Good night, everybody. And Nicole, if you're listening, good luck with your family emergency. And hi, Jean Steele. Hello. Bye.
Good night.